Hello, and welcome to On the Right ADHD Trail. We're doing it again, strapping on our backpacks and climbing the summit to living successfully with ADHD. This year, I have with me 15 highly educated experts, and I can't wait for you to meet them. I'm Kathy Gett, owner of Get Focused. I'm a certified ADHD life coach and a certified Sanity School for Parents trainer. This is my third time hosting this summit focusing on men and ADHD, and I'm really excited. You can find out more about me and my coaching practice at getfocused.com. That's getfocused.com. But before I bring on my next guest, I want to be sure and thank our VIP summit sponsor, Lori Dupar, owner and director of IAC Coach Training Center, where they teach people wanting to become ADHD life coaches how to use coaching to make the change they wish to see in the world. You can find out more about the IAC Center and ADHD Life Coach Training at iactcenter.com. Enroll now for January classes starting January 2022. Well, why not upgrade to On the Right ADHD Trail Backpack? For only $85, you have extended digital access to all the recordings and transcripts of our audio interviews. And as a special bonus, you are in the drawing for a $100 gift certificate from REI. But enough talking, let's get started and meet our next presenter, Linda Rogley. Linda is a professional certified coach, award-winning author, and founder of the AD Diva Network for ADHD Women 40 and Better. She is an internationally recognized expert in midlife and senior ADHD. Linda co-founded the annual ADHD Women's and ADHD Parents Palooza, 2 weeks of online conversations with 30-plus AD experts. Wonderful. She also created the popular ADHD Get Organized program, which features live, interactive organizing sessions. Linda's book, Confessions of an AD Diva Midlife in the Nonlinear Lane, won first prize for women's issues in the prestigious Next Generation Indie Book Awards competition. Her office is located in Durham, North Carolina. Linda's presentation today is an ADHD surefire formula to get anywhere on time. We all need it. ADHD is synonymous with running late, at least for most of us. We start too late. We get distracted. We retrieve forgotten items at least 3 times, so true, and the result is high anxiety, probably high blood pressure, and guilt at almost missing that appointment. Mostly, however, it's about time blindness, our inability to understand how long things take and how long they take us to accomplish. Join us for our timely story, on how to accommodate all the little things that contribute to our tardiness. Welcome, Linda. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm so happy to be here, Kathy. And I'm on time, I want you to know.
Yay, you are. You almost didn't make it, though. You had some internet problems.
I did have internet problems. Yes, thank goodness the Spectrum people came through for me. Yahoo!
Well, Linda, why are ADHD folks so inclined to be late for appointments and birthday parties and even our own weddings?
Yeah, trust me, I was actually late to my wedding. I wasn't late to the wedding, but I was, you know, you're supposed to show up 2 hours early and have pictures taken, and I didn't show up 2 hours early, and the photographer was like, where is she, where is she, where is she? I was fixing my hair, that's what I was doing.
We're late to
church. We're late to the meeting with our kids' parents, you know, teachers, all that kind of stuff. And I mean, let's face it, we're even late to bed. We often go get to bed really late. And we're actually not going to talk about that today, but because that's more about circadian rhythm and time blindness may be related to that. But the truth is, I just want you to know that I was doing some research about time blindness and time and ADHD, and one study I found connected time blindness to Facebook addiction for teens, for ADHD teens. You know, oh. It's like, you know how yep. fast how the internet can pull us in, and all of a sudden we're just lost in space and lost in time as well. Yeah. So I just want, before we talk about why, I just want to say that some people like you, ADHD does not make them late. They are either overcompensating for their ADHD, or like you, they had that structure set up when they were kids. And that really makes a huge, huge difference for folks. So it's really about learning how to be on time. That's part of it. But the consequences, I want to talk a little bit about what happens. Why is this an issue for us? And what happens to us? We get fired. I just talked to a woman yesterday who had just taken a new job, and she was late. And then she had to, you know, she had didn't have childcare, and something happened again, and she was late again. 3 weeks in, she got fired for being late. And it was a really good job. She really loved that job. So we also can lose friendships over this, you know, because we do show up late, and we do, you know, they get upset with us. It affects our family relationships. I can't tell you how many times that, you know, it's kind of like in Gone with the Wind when she was upstairs and she was trying to get to the barbecue and she couldn't find her parasol, and her father's down there saying, Katie Scarlett O'Hara, get down here, we're going to leave you, that kind of stuff. And she's like, oh, I can't find my parasol. So maybe she had ADHD too. I don't know. Fiddle DD, Scarlett may have had ADHD. Yeah, exactly. But let's face it here. It does lower our self-esteem when we're late all the time. We don't like being late. So it's not our fault. It's not our responsibility to be on time, but it also is not personal to the other person who we're being late to or from, if you will. I have to tell you a quick story about, that happened many years ago. I knew about my ADHD, but I wasn't really addressing it very well. And I was going to meet a really, really treasured friend, a fairly new friend, but I just really loved her to pieces. We were going to meet at a restaurant for lunch, and it was getting later and later. I was 30 minutes late leaving, and therefore I was going to be 30 minutes late getting there. I couldn't reach her. I called the restaurant. They didn't know where she was. I got to the restaurant. She left. She did not wait for me. And I was devastated. I was absolutely devastated, and I never spoke to that person again, ever. Even though I called to apologize, and she just, it was over. And so those are some of the consequences of being late, but why? Why are we late? So it's not personal. We're not doing this on purpose, ever. We're not doing this on purpose, right? So again, I was doing research on this, and I mean, there are a lot of reasons. We talked about a few of those when you did the introduction a little bit. We get distracted, et cetera, et cetera. But there have been studies, if you can believe it, they're actually studying us in scholarly research, and they call it a time processing deficit, not attention deficit, time processing deficit. So there was a study that was just done a couple of years ago. It was published in the Medical Science Monitor, and they used, I couldn't believe there was actually something that had this name. It's the Zimbardo Time Perspective Inventory. They're actually tests to see if we know how we perceive time. So it was interesting. And so I'm just going to read the quote from you. It said, one of the tests used, it shows that individuals with ADHD have difficulties in time estimation and discrimination activities, as well as, and this is important, having the feeling that time is passing by without them being able to complete the tasks accurately and well, which is so important. I mean, that's different than getting someplace on time, but that really rang true for me, is that, and that I, yeah, yeah, it says, they,
yeah,
I would love to. They say, go. So the piece of it is we have trouble estimating time, and we also have the feeling that time is passing us by without being able to complete the things we're trying to complete accurately and well.
Okay.
That means a lot to me. Yeah, that means a lot to me. And what happens, they've also done, this was an earlier study, they've also done some studies that show that ADHD folks, when they will have a certain amount of time that elapses, and it could be seconds, it could be minutes. ADHD folks consistently underestimate the amount of time that has elapsed. So if 10 minutes have elapsed, they think that only 5 minutes has elapsed. So we are constantly underestimating the amount of time that it takes, you know, that time passes, but we also underestimate the amount of time it takes to do things. And I think it's partly because our brains move so quickly that we think we move quickly too, when unfortunately the exact opposite is true. We actually usually need more time to figure things out and to accomplish things and get places on time, because accomplishing things is a piece of getting someplace on time, right? We're going to talk about that in just a minute here. So if we constantly feel that we are not getting done what we need to do, then we need more time to do it. And it's so frustrating when I think, oh, I can finish that in 15 minutes. And an hour and a half later, I'm still working on it. Why is that? Partly because of perfectionism. Partly because... I want it to be perfect. And why does perfectionism kick in? Well, there's a lot of reasons, of course, but one of them can be that we have made some mistakes in the past, and we doggone don't want to make those mistakes again. So we are checking and rechecking and checking again. And even then we have made mistakes. So we get a little obsessive about it, right? And that takes more time. It simply takes more time. And I think that a lot of people with ADHD go around frustrated because they consistently say, I can get that. Well, that's interesting. We are rarely inconsistent, but we consistently say, I can get this done quickly. And then we don't get it done quickly. And that's another reason we feel like we're behind all the time. Back in the day when I was working in a different job, I was a reporter for the local newspaper here, and I had covered the education beat. And I was constantly showing up late to the meetings. I was running at the last minute. And you know how you feel when you're late and you sit down and you kind of go, I hope nobody noticed. And then I also felt like I wasn't quite in the room yet. You know, I kind of had to get my bearings. And so after this was a retreat for the school board, and one of the school board members came up to me during a break and he said, you know, you're always such a presence when you come into the room. You're always so windblown. And we all know why, because my ADHD was making me windblown. So, I mean, he wasn't saying it as an insult. He was saying it more of a presence. I thought, yeah, I'm a presence because I always show up late and people notice that I'm there. So anyway, so the point, I didn't want to be late. I did not want to be late. And the research shows that if ADHD is treated pharmacologically, that our time perception actually improves. And I am not advocating pharmacological, you know, medications. Right. I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying that this study showed that. But keep in mind too that's an easy thing for the people to study, because excuse me, you give somebody a pill and you see if they're better. It's not as easy to check and see but in the same study they also said that individual coaching and therapy can also help time management. And it can help teach routines and schedules and that kind of thing. So we're not hopeless. You know, this is not a lost cause. And I just want to mention one more thing before we jump into the formula. And that is that, you know, the executive function piece, which is, you know, kind of, you know, touted as something that's very important in ADHD. And it is, certainly. That executive function happens in the prefrontal cortex, which is that newest part of our brain. Our brains develop from the back of our head, like the bottom of our brain, right in our back of our neck, forward. So the prefrontal cortex is the front part of our brain. That's the part that has to do with working memory and execution and planning ahead and prioritization and organization. All of those things tie in to time management. And considering that we're kind of a quart low on dopamine to make our executive function and our prefrontal cortex work well, it makes sense that time disorientation and time blindness is difficult for us. So I kind of wanted to set the scene there before we really get into the solution, because there are solutions here. There absolutely are solutions. So let me pause. Is there anything that didn't make sense? Is there something that you'd like to comment on that we can delve into a little bit more?
No. You know, I really did not know about time blindness either till I became a coach. And I was like, oh, this is what's going on with this child or this adult or whatever. Because like I said at the start, Linda, I had a father that put it into us that you were to be at wherever you were supposed to be at a quarter till, no matter what, you know, church, appointments, whatever. And that was drilled into us. And I think that's why I've been able to stay with that. But I know that I have some children and stuff that it, and I had a best friend, you know, just like you. So I always had to plan. I would tell my friend, this is what time we need you to be here, but it really wasn't, but we needed to give her at least 15 minutes so that she would be there because, you know, everybody else would get mad at her. And I didn't want to get mad at her, but, you know, most of the time it worked. But looking back now, she probably had ADHD, but that was back in the ancient days when people didn't talk about it and everything. But the time blindness is really an amazing thing because just like you were saying about the children, the teens going into Facebook, hey, we as adults get into the Facebook and that's it. You know, there is time blindness there. You're like, I think I've been on here about 20 minutes. You look, oh my God, I've spent a whole hour out here. But thank you so much about all that information. what can we do to change that story to actually be on time?
Okay, so what I realized is that the things that make us late, you touched on just a little bit about, you know, the things that get in the way of being on time. So I'm just going to talk about getting out of the house and getting somewhere. But it could be the same thing about getting ready for something like a Zoom meeting, or you don't have to go out of the house, but anything that has a hard stop on it, right? So the things that slow us down are the things that we don't think about. So there's something called back timing. So like if you let's just say you have a Zoom meeting or you have an appointment at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever time zone you're in, and you think, okay, and you look at your GPS and the GPS says it'll take you 37 minutes to get there. And you're like, okay, if I leave 40 minutes ahead of time, I'll get there and it'll be fine. Of course, we don't leave 40 minutes ahead of time. We try to leave 30 minutes ahead of time and try to make it up by, if I could just speed a little bit, that, my dear, is one of the reasons that we often have speeding tickets, because we're trying to get somewhere on time, because we're trying to compress the time that we think the GPS is saying, it's always different. I can't trust that. But there are a lot of things that lead up to that before we even get in the car or in whatever vehicle, your bicycle or whatever you're using. So let's talk about some of those things that back timing can do. So if we started at 2 o'clock and you back time to the GPS, it's like, okay, well, I need 37 minutes. We'll make it 40 minutes, but you have to keep 40 minutes. But in order to keep that 40-minute limit, you need to back up and say, well, what do I need to do before that? And then what do I need to do before that? And what do I need to do before that? And then that gives you the opportunity to say, okay, well, now this is the time that I need to start getting ready. Most of us never think about starting that early to get ready. We look at the clock and go, oh, gosh, 30 minutes. I need to get ready. The dogs need to go out. I'll run you just really quickly because I don't want the dogs to pee on the floor while I'm gone. So I'll run the dogs out and then, but I need to take a really quick shower. Oh my gosh, I forgot I don't have any shampoo. Gosh, I have to run downstairs and get some more. It goes on and on and on like that, right? So what I created was this formula, and I know this may be difficult to follow along, but I'm going to give it to you as the bonus. I'm going to give it to you, so no problem. It tries to include everything, and there are things in there that you may want to add as well that are specific to you. So the first thing you do is you put the time of your appointment. Let's just pretend it's 2 o'clock, right? 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Then what we have is we have the get ready time. So, and this is way, way, way back at the beginning of when you're starting to get ready. So some of us may, and maybe not for a 2 o'clock appointment, but you know, first we got to wake up. And those of us who have been up all night may need to wake up at, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning. Who knows? But we need to get functional at least. We need to get our meds on if we're taking meds, or we need to wake up. We need to feel like, okay, I'm there. So how many minutes does that take for you to do that? If it's, let's just pretend it's an earlier appointment. Let's say it's at 9 o'clock in the morning. It may take you 2 hours to really get functional in the morning. You have your coffee, you feed the dogs, you take care of, you know, your toiletries, all that kind of good. It may take you two hours to do that. So another piece of this is, then the next thing we're going to go, if we start way back there, the next thing we come forward is, how long does it take you to take a shower and get ready and dry your hair and put deodorant on or put, you know, aftershave or whatever it is. And then the next piece is, how many, and you put down that number of minutes on there. And then how much does it take you to dry your hair and style your hair?
Right.
Or even, you know, and maybe we put shaving in there as well. Then how many minutes does it take you to get dressed or to even figure out what you're going to wear? Do you have clean clothes? Are you going to have to get the clothes out of the laundry basket? Are you going to have to search around to see if there's something that fits? What kind of meeting is this? Do you have to be dressed up or can you go casual? All that stuff takes our time. And we don't think about that because,
yeah.
And honestly, I'm glad I used the word think because that's one of the pieces of it is that we have to think about it. And it takes us longer to make decisions because our ADHD brain has so many options. Well, I wore that yesterday. Oh, what did I wear to the last time I went to that meeting? All those things are going on and it takes us time to think. So the next piece is like, maybe you need to eat. Maybe you need breakfast or lunch or dinner, or you need to take your medication. That's another piece of this. So put in there, put in the formula how many minutes that takes, right? And you may, and so, what I'm going to say, I'm going to interrupt myself here and say, the time that you think it may take, remember time blindness, may not be
right.
enough. So what I invite you to do is to use the formula and then see if it works. And if it doesn't work, it's not the formula necessarily. It may be that you are underestimating the estimate of the time that it takes. So what I really encourage you to do is to actually time yourself. How long does it take you to take a shower? Put a timer outside
yeah.
the shower and not a timer, but a clock and see how long does it take you to take a shower, average. I mean, it could take you 20 minutes. It could take you 3 minutes. I'm famous for my 3 minute showers. I must tell you, because I'm always in a hurry. Anyway, that's way too much information. Okay. So think about some other things that you need to do before to get ready. You might, if you have pets, you might need to walk the dog or feed the cat. You might have kiddos. You might need to get the kids dressed. You might need to get them functional. You might need to get them dressed and all that kind of stuff and help them decide what to wear. So you put down that number of minutes on that. How long is it going to take to do that? Estimate, right? Then how long is it going to take you to finish all those last minute chores? Or are you going to check email before you go out the door? If you check email, how long will it take you? And that email, like Facebook, can pull you in, baby. All of a sudden, I'm just going to check this one thing, and then I'm responding, and it takes me longer to type the email and respond than I thought it did. All of a sudden, 20 minutes have gone by, and I thought it was going to be a 60-second kind of just check to make sure the world hadn't collapsed, right? So
right.
there might be some dishes you need to do, or you might just want to get them in the sink. Whatever happens, so put the number of minutes down, right? We're going to include that. Then this is one that I always put 0 minutes in. Because it's inevitable distractions, minor crisis, phone calls. I never think there's going to be a crisis. I never think that there's going to be a distraction. So I just put 0 minutes in there. I'm not surprised. I need to measure that, however. Then next piece is getting all that stuff together that you need to take with you. Like, for instance, I went to Costco yesterday, and I have some things to take back to Costco. And I got to Costco, and guess what? They weren't in the car. I did not get the stuff from Costco in the car, even though that's where I was going. So gathering the stuff that you need for wherever you're going, whether it's an appointment or whatever. So you might need, I mean, someone said to me the other day, because I showed this to someone, they said, I need time to find my mask. I need to find my keys. I need to find my purse. I need, you know, maybe you're going for an all day thing. I've got a bag lunch. I got to get my lunch, which, and by the way, needs to be done earlier. Needs to be included in your time earlier if you're making lunch. Where the heck is my phone? Where's my phone?
I have to get down there
and do the where's my phone thing. It has to beep at me. That takes time. So put down an estimate of how much time you think that might take to do that last minute stuff. And then you're going to load everything in the car. The kids, the pets, the car seats, the harnesses, the handbag, all that stuff that you got yourself together. And you put it in a place that you can find, and you say, okay, this stuff all has to go to the car. That takes time. It's not like, you know, teleportation. You can't just get it there. It actually takes time to pick it up, open the door, walk out, go to the car, come back, all that stuff. And then, of course, the classic ADHD, I'm all ready to go, oh, I forgot something. So we need to include time to go back to the house. And say, I was going to get a bottle of water to take with me because it's going to be a long trip. So I think that we need three of those. We need return to house number one, return to house number two, return to house number three. How long do those take? Oh, it'll just take me a second. It'll just take me a second. And it does just take a second. But if you do it three times, it can take 3 seconds, which really translates to 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 minutes. So that, so just talking about just those things about getting ready and getting into your vehicle or getting to the bus stop or whatever, those things are what slow us down. And a lot of folks don't really time them. So therefore, they're already behind when they get in that car, which is why I said, oh, I can get there in 30 minutes. I don't need 37 minutes. But I do need 37 minutes if my heart's not going to be racing, if I'm not going to be anxious, if I'm not going to worry about getting a speeding ticket or get one, even worse, or have an accident, even worse, right? So that's all that stuff.
Right.
So you add all those minutes together. Add all those minutes of getting ready, all those minutes together. Let's say this is a very low number, but let's just pretend it's 60 minutes. That I don't think that's accurate because when I started filling this stuff out, it was like 138 minutes. It was like 2 hours, right?
Uh-huh.
So then once we're in the car, we got to get it warmed up. Let's pretend it's winter. We got to get the car warmed up. And you also need time to get out of the driveway or getting out of the parking lot where your apartment building is. That counts. The GPS does not figure that in.
You have to wait for that. Right. I wanted to say that. The GPS does not figure any of this stuff in because my
exactly.
Well, the GPS says it's going to be 37 minutes. I always want to say, have you figured out how long it's going to take you to get out of the house, get in the car, get it going?
Exactly. And that's the piece that I was telling Kathy before we started today. I have worked with highly intelligent professionals. Not that that's a criteria,
right.
But people who really are very highly intelligent say, I didn't think about that. I never even, because this person was always running late. So one of the things that of course we have the driving to the appointment kind of thing or driving to wherever we're going. That's 37 minutes. The GPS is telling us that, right? Of course, the GPS also is not telling us sometimes the GPS will tell you if there's detours, if there's an accident,
right.
It will come up, but often you don't really know that till you get in the car. So that's one. So we put the number of minutes in there that we think it's going to take to get to the appointment or what the GPS says. Then we can also allow some extra time. What if the traffic's really busy? It may take us a longer time to get through stoplights. And believe me, that GPS is adding those minutes on as we go because it's in real time. But it's not giving you those minutes ahead of time. It's only giving them to you as you go. So you write that number.
Right.
You put that number of minutes down. This is a biggie. Finding a parking place. Now, if you're going to Costco or something like that, you can probably get a parking place pretty close. But my medical appointments are often at Duke Medical Center. And Duke Medical Center has a parking garage that has 8 levels. And I always think, I'll find a parking place on the first level. And then what Duke did in all its wisdom was make all the first floor valet parking. So now I can't park there anymore. Now I have to go up to the second level, and everybody else thought they could park on the first floor, so the second floor is completely full, too. And I go up to the third floor, and people are waiting for other people to back out, and I'm just sitting there going, can we get going? Let's go. Can we go up to the next floor? There'll be more parking. I finally sometimes end up on the roof, right? Because that's at least where the parking places are. But in the meantime, I'm behind these slowbos that I can't get to move because I just want to get to my appointment because I'm running late. So finding a parking spot, big deal. And you'll know you'll know whether it's going to be difficult, like I do with Duke, and you'll know whether it'll be easy because sometimes you can park right at the front door. So that only takes, you know, like 2 minutes, but it still takes time to park the car, right? I have to tell you that I talked to somebody who said that she was in such a hurry to get out of her car that she got out of the car before she turned the car off. And she started to leave with the car still running. It's like, uh-oh, that's not a good thing either. Okay, then we have to have time.
Yeah.
Well, then we have to have time. Like, I've been in medical appointments where the garage is pretty far from where the appointment is. And that's true at Duke. So let's pretend I had to be on the 8th floor. I've got to take an elevator down to the walkway, which is on the 2nd floor, which is why everybody likes to park on the 2nd floor. The walkway takes me across. Then I have to go all the way down the hallways. I have to find another elevator. I have to go to the right floor. I have to walk down that hallway. It may take me as much as 10 minutes to get from my car to my appointment place, right? I am not including that when I look at the GPS. Trust me on this. I rarely am thinking about how long after I get out of the house, I'm like, triumph, right? I got it. I'm getting there. And then I realize, oh, my God. And I have to say that I have been guilty of being angry at other people for making me late, even when I'm the one who didn't leave early. Get out of my way. What? I'm trying to get somewhere.
What are you doing? Why are you driving so slow?
Exactly. Get honk on. No, I don't honk at people, but I think that's not very polite. So the last thing is, once you get there, and there I am, windblown, I'm getting to the, and then I've got to check in, right? If it's a medical appointment. And what do you think? There's 3-4 people in line in front of me. I'm like, could I come to the front of the line? I would never do that. But to fill out all the forms and are you still taking these medications? Yes. Let me just sit down. I'm checked in. Okay. So you're going to add all those are total things. I know I talked a lot about them, but that's total of 6 different things. You're going to add all those minutes up together, right? You're going to add all those minutes. And then, not surprisingly, you're going to take the number of minutes that it took you to get out of the house, and you add them to the number of minutes that it took to, after you got out of the house and get to the place and find a parking place and all that stuff. Then you add them all together, and then that is actually how long it takes you to get ready. So let's pretend that it was 120 minutes. I think it's more than that, but let's pretend it's 120 minutes, right?
Okay.
If my appointment's at 2 o'clock, when do I have to start getting ready? 12 o'clock. I have to start getting ready. I promise you that never at 12 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, I might go, oh, yeah, I've got to go to the doctor at 2 o'clock. So, I've got plenty of time. That would be my thought process. However, what's realistic is what I've just outlined. And again, as I say, that's actually kind of a conservative amount of time, depending on the things that you can drop out of there. And the formula that I have lists all of these things. It has little blanks where you can put the minutes in, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And it also, sometimes it's hard to back time though. And I actually found and I'll put the link in there as well. I found a site online that actually will allow you to back time. Because I was trying to subtract it, and I'm like, oh, if it's 38 minutes, how is that mean? I couldn't figure it out. So what I ended up doing was this. You can just put the time that you want to be there, and you can put the time it's going to take, and it'll give you exactly what it was supposed to be. And when I figured this out before, and I had I figured it out with the 2:30 appointment, it said I should start getting ready at 11:32. 11:32. That's not even on my horizon at that point. And they call it the time horizon, actually. The time horizon is like way over there, right?
But, way over there.
So let's talk about the advantages of this. I mean, sure, you're not late and you're not feeling guilty and you're not rushed and all that kind of stuff, but that's really important for ADHD folks. Because imagine walking into this appointment. Let's just pretend I'm going to Duke to my doctor. Imagine walking into that appointment and being able to leisurely walk down the hallway to the appointment, to the particular clinic that I'm going to, because there's lots of clinics at Duke. It's a big place. And I'm in line, and there's 3 or 4 people in line in front of me, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's fine. And I'm just I get on my phone, and I'm just, I'm killing some time, and I get up there. And the woman says, hello, can I help you? And I'm pleasant to her. The first thing out of my mouth is not, I'm sorry, I'm a few minutes late. Can I still come in? Because Duke has a policy that if you're 15 minutes late, you have to reschedule.
I have
so many times I've gone up. So I'm like, I'm 17 minutes. Do you think I can still see it? Well, let me call back and see if they can see. Well, they'll work you in later. So I have to wait longer than my appointment time. But at least I didn't have to go home and start over. But I have had to do that. I have gotten there 20 or 25 minutes late. And then, I'm sorry, but you have to start. Basically, go to the back of the line, basically. Start all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
Hard. And getting an appointment, it's hard to get an appointment with some doctors, dermatologists especially. Oh, my God. A year in advance, right? I don't want to deal with that again. So, but the most important piece of this, Kathy, is that when you go and you sit down, and let's go back to my appointment, and I sit down and I'm in the waiting space and I'm socially distanced or whatever needs to happen to keep everybody safe. Uh-huh. I'm calm. My brain is functioning. And you know what that's related to is mindfulness. And mindfulness helps our ADHD. Okay. So imagine walking in and feeling calm and mindful. Go ahead.
No, that's what I was going to say. So when you walk into your doctor, you remember the things that you want to talk to him about.
Ooh,
you're not like,
good point.
Oh, you know, because when we're in a hassle and we've just stressed so much because we're late, we walk into the doctor's office and then they come in and you're like, oh, how are you doing? You can't think. You're just sort
exactly.
of trying to de-stress from
yep.
what you've just gone through and
yeah.
walk out of there 20 minutes later going, oh, no, I meant to ask him this. And then, you know, so,
absolutely.
We have to use the time formula so that we can be calm and collected for whatever we're
exactly.
going
through. Exactly. So let me give you a couple of, because if we figure out how long things take and be accurate about it, because remember what I said was you can guess the first few times, but then you need to time yourself to see how long things really take for you. That's why when this comes to you, it's all
right.
blank. And you can reproduce as many times as you want to, just, you know, photocopy it. I even have a version in Excel that will actually add everything up, so I can even include that as a gift too, because I have an Excel
okay.
version that would automatically do the subtraction and addition and all that kind of good stuff. But so we have to get these things done. We're going to figure out how much time they take, but we have to remind ourselves to do them, to switch gears, right? Otherwise they might take more time.
Right.
There's a really cool website. It's called ohdon'tforget.com.
Oh,
and you can program
okay.
text messages to yourself. So you can remind yourself that I'm supposed to be changing gears right now. So every 10 minutes or every 15, whatever you think it's going to take. So that's cool. You can do that. I mean, you can set
okay,
timers.
Linda, tell us again
yes.
what was the name of that website.
It's ohdon'tforget. ohdon'tforget. ohdon'tforget.com.
Okay, great.
Now, I know that some of your guys are going to be not in the United States. At least as far as I remember, it's only available in the United States, but at least it's great here in the U.S., and there may be something similar that now is international. I don't know. But
okay.
you can also do some things that are reminders for you, like putting something in plain sight that's out of place. Like if you put a lamp on the floor – you know, like in the middle of your walkway, it might remind you, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be walking the dog so I can get ready for that appointment. You know, I mean,
uh-huh.
anything like that that will shake us out of our routine, because we become blind to the stuff that's sitting around, like the clutter and all that kind of other stuff.
Right.
Although I'm sure no one in your audience has any clutter in their house or pile of paper. No, none. However, we don't see that stuff anymore, so we have to do something different, right? So you put a rubber
right.
band around your arm, or you use the text messages, or you do use the timer. And I like timers that you can actually punch in the time instead of pushing the button and making it go up to the amount of time. So I have a timer that I like, and it's called Intrex. I got it on Amazon, and it not only does the, you know, punch in the buttons, but it also rings, and then it rings louder, and then it rings faster. So even if you're
Ooh.
In another room, you can actually hear
okay.
it. The other timers
again.
That, yeah, I think it's Intrex, I-N-T-R-E-X, I believe that's the name of it. And again, I got it on Amazon. I'm not crazy about using Amazon for everything, but anyway, I did.
Yeah.
The other easy timers that I really like are called Datrex, D-A-T-R-E-X-X. They're cube timers, and I think there's several different brands. I just happened to use Datrex because it was the first one I found. And they're just cubes, and on the top it's blank, and on four
uh-huh.
sides all the way around it, it has times. Like the one I'm holding in my hand says 5 minutes, 10 minutes. On another
right.
side it says
gotcha.
20 minutes, and another one has 45 minutes. You know, I don't like to set timers. They're a pain in the butt. It's tedious. I don't
right.
do it, so I don't do it. All I have to do is turn this sideways and turn up the amount of minutes that I want to elapse, and it'll start blinking. It starts timing immediately. Now this
I
one
have
does
one
not.
Of those are great.
Do you?
Those
yeah,
are
they
great.
Are great.
Yes.
They don't ring very loudly, so you need it close to you.
Yeah.
But
they don't
ring very long, frankly. But it's so easy uh-huh. to set that you. So I now have them on all floors of my house. I use them in my kitchen.
Oh.
I use them in my office. I use them in my bathroom. So I always have one, some, you know, and
okay.
often, you know, I mean, keep it, let's go back to the number of minutes that you've got on your schedule here. You know, something may take you 10 minutes. You just set the 10 minute timer. It's like, bam. And if the timer goes off and you're not done, that's your opportunity to adjust either how fast you want to do things or how much time you want to allow. So this is really flexible. Got it? It's really,
it can
work with you, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So.
Okay. Well, Linda, we are running out of time, but.
No kidding. Sorry.
No, it was full of information, really full of information. And so your gift is going to be what you have just described to us, the formula in PDF and Excel and everything. Mm-hmm. But how about telling us about your program, ADHD Get Organized program?
Yeah, and the Get Organized program is set in my, because I usually work with women, so it says women, but we advertise it in ADA, and we also have some men working with it. So please don't be put off by the fact that it's for women, ADHD women. It's Get Organized. We start it again every 6 weeks, and it is 12 live Blitz organizing sessions, and we do it together on Zoom. And what happens, and we also have 4 learning labs, so I teach you how to do the basics, because you know what? We all know how to do it. We just can't do it. That's why I set this up, so that we can do it together. And it's kind of like body doubling, but it's such a relief to be able to have other people who also share the same kind of decluttering challenges. And you can find out that you can find out more about that at addiva.net, addiva.net, and find out about my retreats and my coaching, all that stuff. I know we're short on time, so I'm just going to let you find me if you want to. You will.
Excuse me. Well, thank you so much, Linda. This was really great talking to you, and I'm going to print out this formula to see if it can help me get places on time, even though you think I'm there all the time on time. I'm not. There's a lot of time going on.
True confession.
About the good time. Getting to church. I definitely get to church on time.
Well, you have priorities, of course. God needs you to be there on time.
And my dad taught me.
There you
well,
go.
Well, thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much, Kathy, and thank you for the work you do in the world.
Well, thanks. Okay, this was a great interview with Linda, and I would like to tell you all to stay tuned for our next presentation. Go get a drink of water, and we'll be right back. Thank you so much.